Good evening, everyone. This is Amanda Manier with the Veterans Voice on 790 KABC. I am a veteran advocate and attorney at the Veterans Law Group. We have exclusively represented veterans before their before the VA for their disability claim for over 25 years. This show is all about highlighting and celebrating veterans and their families, organizations that are helping veterans and providing news and answering questions on how veterans can get support in dealing with the VA. This evening, we are actually live and taking your calls. So if you have questions related to veterans' claims, would like to talk about anything related to veterans and their families, please reach out to us at 800-222-KABC. We'd be glad to take your call. A couple of weeks ago, I had a friend of ours named Karen, who is a spouse of a 30-year retired U.S. Army veteran. And we talked quite a bit about her experience with his claims and her experience with his service, that kind of thing. But what kept coming up was her father is also a Vietnam veteran. And I kept wanting to get to that. So we kind of set aside tonight's show to talk about Vietnam veterans and a lot of the things that they are still dealing with and carrying and struggling through to this day, partially to do with as messed up as the Vietnam War was, but also partly to do with it's an ongoing saga related to Agent Orange. One of the things that I often brings up in helping veterans that are going before the VA and arguing their claims is, yes, Vietnam veterans, but also the next, what I consider the next Agent Orange saga is this Gulf War syndrome. So we are going to be talking about that in some upcoming episodes. So if you're somebody who served in the Gulf War, that's coming probably within the next couple weeks. I'm helping or watching a few things shake out before I want to really come on and give my perspective. But I have been working with Vietnam veterans for many years. One of the things, my uncle is a Vietnam veteran. Karen, who I'm going to welcome here in a minute, her dad was a Vietnam veteran. My favorite teacher I ever had was a Vietnam veteran and told some amazing stories that at seventh grade, I didn't really understand what had happened. I just know he told funny stories about orangutans jumping in the middle of their campfire and all that kind of thing. So, Karen, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Thank you so much for joining me again. And I so enjoyed our conversation the last time that you were on. And that this thing with the Vietnam veterans and the Agent Orange issues and the PTSD and stuff that happens with Vietnam veterans has been something that weighs heavily on my heart. And one of the things that weighs heavy is that during that period of time, we were still under the draft. So a lot of people who ended up serving in the military were drafted, not something they chose to do, not something that they signed up for, but ended up in a situation or many situations which ultimately affected their life long term. To lay the groundwork a little bit, as much as you feel comfortable with sharing, you said your dad's a Vietnam veteran. How much do you know about his service? Because I know a lot of Vietnam veterans don't talk about their service. So I want to let you chime in a little bit about your experience with your dad and his service.
He was in the Marine Corps for about 8 years, and he did, I believe, 4 tours, he said, over in Nam. But I don't know how long they were there, like if they were 6 month tours, years. I know he was drafted, but he wasn't. By the time he actually got his draft information, he knew his number was called, so he joined, so he could choose the service branch he wanted to. And by the time he actually got notified of being drafted, he was already through boot camp. So he already knew he was going to be drafted. But I know he went in with a bunch of buddies, and basically he's one of the few that came back, which has been difficult with him over the years, to get him to talk about. It's just in bits and pieces over the years that I've got to collect.
Sure.
And so it's been difficult, really hard for him to talk about things.
Yeah, I grew up with a lot of people whose dad served in Vietnam, and it was kind of just an extra thing that they kind of knew about, but was never really talked about, didn't really know what their service was like. My lifelong best friend is like that. Her dad is a Vietnam veteran, and I've known him my entire life, and we've never really He never talked about it. He was never one until recently to start wearing the hat that says Vietnam veteran, that kind of thing. One of the things I do know and have been told over and over again with representing Vietnam veterans is that they are, a lot of them were told when they came back, don't talk about their service because a lot of, it was such a controversial war and you don't really want to like taint your reputation. Is that something that you had experienced with your dad at all?
He didn't talk about it a lot because when he came back, when he did talk about it, he, with it being such a bad war, he was very mistreated. So he didn't talk a lot about it. But he's always been at the same time proud because he's always worn the veteran hat, or Marine Corps ring and things like that. So he's been proud of his service, but it's also been very difficult and it's made him very, very hardened to the subject.
Yeah, definitely. And if you were just joining us, we would love to welcome anybody out there's calls that want to call in and either talk about Vietnam veterans. We're going to get into talking about some of the Agent Orange exposure, some of the PTSD that we understand a little bit better now. You're listening to The Veteran's Voice, and I have Karen here, who is not only a spouse of a veteran, but also the daughter of a Vietnam veteran. The other interesting thing about it is that we refer to Vietnam veterans when we're talking about Agent Orange exposure, but there's a whole other slew of veterans that never really served, you know, boots on the ground in Vietnam and still were exposed to those Agent Orange. So we will get back to that. But what I want to talk about first with Vietnam is, let's first talk about like the PTSD. We understand now in our modern day and age, it's a common talked about subject, PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, or post-traumatic stress, if we don't want to consider it a disorder. In Vietnam, when they came back, not only were they told not necessarily to talk about it, but PTSD and some of those mental health issues of just the trial of war, and I would say probably the same for Korea and World War II and that kind of thing, was certainly not something that was talked about, or even a society in which we were open to say, hey, you know, I might not be okay mentally. They kind of came back and said, okay, I'm going to go back to my family. I'm going to go back to doing the job. I'm going to find a job to do and go about my life. And I've seen some remnants of that. Karen, in helping with, you also help veterans through the process of the VA and kind of help with our calls and that kind of thing. So can you speak at all to that about working with people who were in Vietnam?
Yeah, especially when it comes to the PTSD issues, they don't want to admit that how it affected their everyday life and relationships with friends that they were lifelong friends with prior to going in, because they were a different person when they came back home. Mm-hmm. And they don't always realize how negatively it affected their relationships until years and years later, once they're finally admitting, hey, you know, I'm having problems. I've had problems. I didn't realize I've had them for this many years. It's affected my friendships, my marriages, my family relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And you being a spouse of a veteran who served 30 years now, more in, you know, more current time, for lack of a better word, it's, we talk about it more. We're more aware of it. We share information. We, you know, we have the internet on the congressional level about PTSD and all that kind of thing. When they came back, there wasn't any talk of that. You know, I have clients that I worked with that didn't even consider mental health issues until, you know, 30 years later, they're meeting with some of their old units, getting together, doing reunions, that kind of thing, and realizing, wow, I've struggled with that since I got back too.
Yeah, and they still don't like to label it. It's hard for them to label it as any mental issues or PTSD. They don't quite want to come to terms with it. It's harder for them to come to terms with, I guess, labeling it so they can get the proper help that they need.
Sure, and you watch it kind of affect their lives, and this is even outside of the compensation process. If you just see them kind of affect their lives, so it's people that I know that are, you know, children of Vietnam veterans who, as they learn more about the PTSD and the mental health stuff, it's like, oh, wow, now I understand where my dad is coming from, at least a little bit, you know. But
yeah,
that certainly isn't, you know,
why they are the way they are.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And that's true for all of us, for sure. But, you know, I've always, Not always. I've learned in the past, 10 years that I've been working in this industry and working with more Vietnam veterans of, there's certainly that aspect of not wanting to, kind of admit defeat, maybe is the word to use, of that they don't want to like, oh, I've got this problem. But at the same time, it's like, that was a really, really, really rough war. They're all rough. They're all terrible. But, not only the Agent Orange issues of what our own government ended up exposing our own people to, it was, there's a lot of drug use around there. There was a lot of just really that completely different type of war style that the Vietnam, people had that we were fighting against. It was just a completely different environment. And again, I always go back to those people who were drafted that never signed up for this, never asked for this, and going across to another side of the world to help defend another country. It's a hard thing to kind of wrap your brain around in general, let alone what they experienced. And so often in representing veterans, having to read their stories and having to help them tell their stories to the judges is, completely heart-wrenching at times, and has opened my eyes in a way that I never really understood, when I know that like my uncle served and I'm not very close with him, I don't know him well, but I understand him in a very different way, having known now he was drafted and what he went through out there. And I only know from a distance, I know from the stories. I certainly don't know his particular story, because he wouldn't not be at all the first person or the last person to talk about it and to give me any sort of details. He definitely is somebody who's proud of his service and proud that he served in Vietnam. And he, he's in the Phoenix VA system, which anybody who's followed veterans over the last, 5-10 years knows that the Phoenix VA system can be, relatively difficult. And, but interestingly enough, he has a very positive perspective on it and knows that the VA has taken good care of him. And I'm grateful that he has that perspective, knowing as much of the difficulties that there has been over the years out of Phoenix. So when we come back, what I would really like to talk about, and I know I've done a lot of the talking, Karen, and I'm going to let you kind of come in here, is to talk a little more about PTSD and some of the symptoms for those who are listening that may be Vietnam veterans or families of Vietnam veterans. What we do here is to help them process through the disability compensation process to get, compensation for the mental health, all that kind of thing. But you, as a spouse of a veteran, and me working with them all the time, especially Vietnam, maybe to kind of help give some ideas or some of our experiences of working with people who maybe are just kind of learning and discovering what PTSD is and how it really affects them, and realizing that a lot of their symptoms and things that have happened to them over the years and the way that they've been is related to that. And I'll discuss one of my favorite couple clients of all time, who he was a Vietnam veteran. So we will be back in a few minutes. This is Amanda Manier with The Veteran's Voice on 790 KABC, talking with Karen, a spouse of a U.S. Navy, or Army, I'm sorry, Army veteran of 30 years and daughter to a Vietnam veteran. Good evening, everyone. This is Amanda Manier with The Veteran's Voice on 790 KABC. I am a veteran advocate and attorney at the Veterans Law Group. We've worked exclusively in VA disability claims, representing veterans before the VA for the past 25 plus years. This evening, I'm honored to have with me Karen, who is a spouse of a U.S. Army veteran, retired after 30 years, and a daughter of a Vietnam veteran. And she's helped them both go through the process of getting their disability compensation, and also has just a very frontline view of what it's like to kind of help veterans through the process as they, it's certainly, I hate to look at it as it's something that they struggle with, but it is something that is a consequence of sending our service members off to war, sending them into hazardous conditions, and then also on the other side, realizing that a lot of the things that they were exposed to and the things that they have an illness from or a disability from is things that we actually imposed upon them, including those veterans in Vietnam that were exposed to Agent Orange. And I say Vietnam, but But please understand, I'm not just talking about Vietnam. There were a lot of other veterans that were exposed to Agent Orange in Thailand and Cambodia and off the shore wars, all that kind of thing. So I'm speaking about Vietnam because Karen's here with the Vietnam as a daughter of a Vietnam veteran, me as the niece of a Vietnam veteran. But I want to make sure that we understand that those were not the only ones that were exposed to Agent Orange. Before we jump in, I understand that we have a caller. We are taking calls live this evening. If you would like to talk to us about anything related to veterans, it doesn't have to be specifically related to our topic this evening, Vietnam or Agent Orange, or even PTSD with veterans, with Vietnam veterans. But I understand we have Paul from Victorville who has a question about something that he got in the mail related to his service. Paul, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hi, welcome.
Hey, well, I just got a letter in the mail a couple days ago talking about the Department of Veteran Affairs recently issued new regulations to address health conditions associated with particulate matter exposures during military service. Pretty much Southwest Asia, the burning oil, the dust, the burning sewage, all those other things. I remember them talking about it for a while, but I finally got a letter talking about Southwest Asia between August 2nd, 1990 and September 19th, 2001.
Yes.
And I said we'd be developing it for 10 years within that time. But that's the time I was in. I was in Iraq 2008, 2009. Mm-hmm. But we're breathing that stuff in every day. I was just wondering if you could speak any of that about what you know about the new form there or the new disability.
Yeah, definitely. So there's we've been talking about Agent Orange exposure, which is a herbicide that got sprayed on foliage that would help kill the plants in Vietnam. And that certainly caused set a precedent, and they started associating and understanding medically that there were certain conditions that they were just going to presume if you were exposed to the Agent Orange and you developed one of these conditions, that we would presume that it was because of your exposure. So I've been talking for years about the Gulf War illnesses are going to be like the second Agent Orange or the next Agent Orange. And you can see it happening right now, starting to happen. The letter that you got is that recently the VA has finally acknowledged, just like they did with Agent Orange, that if you served over in Southeast Asia during a certain period of time because of the burn pits, because of what was going on over there, if you develop certain conditions, then they would assume that it's related to your service. So that letter is a very standard generic letter that they're sending out to anybody who served within that period of time to give them notice that if you haven't filed for one of those conditions, you should. And if you have filed, they're going to like relook at your claim. So I would ask you first, did you file for any of those? And most of them are respiratory issues.
Well, I claimed it on my deployment help readiness session for you when you leave. They do a deployment assessment once you leave, the return assessment. And I claimed that because I was around all the time. You always have the crud, they call it, whatever, the Iraq crud. You'd always have stuff breathing out and hopping up boogies all the time. But also, I also want to speak to one smaller thing for the PTSD. I didn't realize I had a small portion of it until I heard someone stacking cubicles on top of each other. And it kind of like got me slouched down and turned all red. People are like, what's going on? I'm like, I don't know. So a lot of people might not even know they have it until something sets you off, like a border going off or something like very similar to what that sound is. I didn't realize I had it, so I never claimed it. A lot of people don't even claim it because they also like to shoot guns and have fun. And I think if you put that on there, then you're going to not be able to, you're going to list somewhere.
Sure.
You fear for that too.
Yeah, definitely. And a lot of people are a little concerned about, a stigma, attaching a stigma to it. And I would say that that's a large part of Vietnam veterans. It's a more commonly discussed conversation now, but at the same time, there are varying different levels of PTSD based upon the symptoms that you have. And some people, they may have it, but they don't have a large amount of symptoms. They have some reactivity, that kind of thing. You also have ones that are suffering enough that they don't even want to leave their house. Or you have ones that are, you know, some of the symptoms are that you have, you know, unprovoked anger where, you know, what would normally be something that would slightly piss somebody off in traffic ends up, you know, being an outlet for the anger that you're holding inside. And that's kind of how it's looked at. A lot of Vietnam veterans, they didn't even know that it existed until years later. They're talking to battle buddies and they're finding out, oh, wow, I'm getting treatment for PTSD. And I didn't know that those were some of the symptoms. So it's certainly one of those things that, if you start seeing it affect your life, it's twofold. One, it's much more well understood now. And there's so many different types of treatments for it. But in addition to that, that's part of what the VA is responsible for, not only helping you be compensated for it, but also get treatment for it. And yeah, I know that there's, you know, I have a handful of clients that work in law enforcement and work overseas where they need to carry a gun. And so they're a little afraid of pursuing that. But that's something that we generally just kind of walk you through the process and decide, you know, is this something you want to pursue, or is it really going to affect your long-term career? But at the end of the day, I want veterans to be able to get the help that they need, and then also long-term the compensation that they're entitled to.
True. Thank you.
If you've already filed, if you had already identified those, there's two different, one, if you identified them when you came back, that's not necessarily filing a claim with the VA. That's just, correct, it's in your service treatment records. So I would definitely recommend filing for those, especially it'll be so much easier now with the presumptive where it wasn't before. And then,
for disability.
But, go ahead.
You know, I filed for disability, but kind of dissuading, disheartening when you filed, you know, they only give you a smaller percent of what you have when you have the paperwork saying, oh yeah, you mess up your ankle, you fell and hurt yourself, but they don't want to pay you for it. And then they always say, like, you have to get a lawyer or appeal it, and it's kind of a process. A lot of people who, you know, are working don't have a lot of time to go to the VA all the time, or, you know, go and fight all the time.
Well, and that's one of the ways in which working, like, one of the when people ask me, like, what's your pieces of advice to give to veterans who are dealing with a claim similar to yours, is my very first thing is don't do it alone. And that doesn't necessarily mean hiring an attorney. Maybe your case, like if you got one of those presumptives, you can probably go into a veteran service organization like DAV, VFW, county, local county, if you're here in California, they can help you file those claims. If it ends up being on appeal or something you need to appeal, that's where we get involved, because we get involved in some of the harder cases where they either deny you or they underrate you. So I would definitely recommend, you know, pursuing that. If you want to contact our office, I'm more than happy to have somebody in on my office look at your case. The best way to do that is veteranslaw.com, and you can fill out a free consultation request and just say, okay, this is what I filed for before, this is what I got, like, what would you recommend, where do I go? We're happy to do that as well. But those, the fact that you have the acknowledgement from the VA that you served during that time, my prediction is it's not just going to be these initial things that they released. It's going to be over time. I mean, we just had three new illnesses that got within the last year that they have recognized as associated with Agent Orange. So I see that maybe 20 years from now still happening with the Gulf War illness. So you got to kind of pay attention.
Makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. So thank you so much for calling in. And again, we'd be happy to review your case. We're going to come back here in a few minutes with, we're going to go on a hard break here, and we're going to come back with a few minutes with Karen, and we're going to revisit Agent Orange and Vietnam veterans, or take your calls, whichever comes up first. So you're here with Amanda Manier with the Veterans Voice on KABC 790 in Los Angeles. Good evening. This is Amanda Manier with the Veterans Voice on 790 KABC in Los Angeles. I am a veteran advocate and attorney with the Veterans Law Group. And this show is my honor to host and to spend some time answering your questions as veterans or families of veterans about in the entire VA disability process. We also spend some time highlighting and celebrating veterans and their families, organizations that are helping veterans, and then just some of the local news, or the, I guess, national news related to veterans. Tonight, this evening, we are taking your calls live. If you've got questions related to anything related to what we just talked about, but especially veterans claims or some weird letter you got in the VA, as we did in the last segment, please feel free to call us at 800-222-KABC. During the show here tonight. Also, you can visit our website at veteranslaw.com if you have a specific question and maybe don't want to go on the air about talking about your claim. This evening, we are joined by Karen. She is a friend, a spouse of a U.S. Army veteran, retired after 30 years, and also the daughter of a Vietnam veteran. Welcome back, Karen.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So let's dig in a little bit with maybe talk about, if you're comfortable with talking a little bit about your dad's process. You said that you had helped him through his claims process. Can you talk a little bit about, like, what kind of things you were filed for? Is he an Agent Orange exposed veteran, PTSD? What kind of things have you worked with him?
We're still working through most of it. It's not officially finalized. We're working with PTSD major. He won't admit to anything when it comes to Agent Orange, and his records, because of what he did, aren't fully accessible.
Yep.
Chunks are missing because of clearances and stuff like that. So it's been a little more difficult than some other cases.
Sure.
But it's been, mainly it's hard working with him because it's getting him to, it's taken years to get him to even be okay with the idea of mentioning the VA, because his mistrust for the VA and everything else, that's just been the biggest difficult, is just biggest hurdle is just getting him to be okay with. And he's basically trying to be as much hands-off. He doesn't want to deal with it.
Right.
It's basically me doing it for him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know he deserves the benefits. But it's him admitting to things and just trying to get it processed and get the bits of stories and things like that and get it all collected. But the biggest problem we've had is mainly records, trying to get records to line up. And
are those service treatment records?
Service records at all.
Okay. Yeah.
A lot of them, because of what his clearance was and things that he won't talk about.
Right.
Just giving him, because his original records from when he got out, his copy got destroyed years ago in a hurricane. So when it came through. So we're having to go off what the government has, and it's been difficult getting them.
Right. So for those of you who are listening, I just want to kind of remind you, if you're, or if you're new listening, that what happens with help getting veterans help with the VA is, and we're talking about disability compensation, which means that they're paid a monthly payment based upon what disabilities that were incurred or aggravated while the time they're in service. So generally, the formula is that you have to have some sort of injury while you're in service or an aggravation of a pre-existing injury. You have to have something that you're dealing with right now, which they call disability, but it, whatever diagnosis you have right now. And then that current diagnosis has to be related to your service. So one of the unique things with the Agent Orange exposure is you don't have to prove that if you develop diabetes type 2 as a 65-year-old man, you don't have to have a medical evidence that says, well, that's because of Agent Orange exposure. They look at it, the VA will say, okay, if you were exposed to Agent Orange and you later develop these list of things that they call presumptives, we will automatically just assume that it's part of your service. Now, that doesn't mean that if you didn't have A plus B and C equal D, that it's still not worth pursuing. But those are, that's the easy cases and probably the ones that you and I don't see very often. The ones that are hard are the things like lost records, just like you were talking about. Back then it was a lot different than now, where everything is like e-medical records and everything's stored electronically and you get a copy of it. I had a client who's a Vietnam and Korea veteran, and he was serving on the DMZ in Korea, and he got flown to Japan and he shipped all of his stuff home because he was going home, and then he got orders to go to Vietnam. So all of his stuff went home and he lost all of his records. So it's like, what do you do then when you don't have records to show what you were treated for in service? And that's the point where I'm like, don't give up, because lack of records doesn't mean that those records never existed. And then your personal testimony becomes that much more important. So a lot of people will give up in that. And I'm so glad that your dad has the advocacy of you to help him with that.
Yeah, because it's been, I've been nagging and griping at him since I was probably in high school. So a good 20, 30 years of trying to get him to just go for benefits and get the treatment. Because he was wounded. He has a Purple Heart. And then, but it's hard, like I said, with the missing records and the records that do he has, basically states he never went overseas, but yet we have pictures and awards that we still actually have copies of, thank goodness, that prove that he was overseas, that counteract the records that says he wasn't. So it's
we've had some really
trying to piece it together.
Yeah, and we've had some really interesting puzzles to put together in that of, somebody I was just talking to recently who's a wife of a Vietnam veteran, and they were talking about a particular injury that he had when he was overseas, and there was no records of it. He actually hit his head and ended up being in medical, and they couldn't find any of those records. There was nothing on the deck logs, anything like that. But they have all of their love letters from to and from each other from way back when. And he wrote, had written her a letter about what had happened to him. And so we're utilizing that as evidence that it happened, because that's part of the VA process, is if there isn't medical records to support it, that doesn't mean that other, what we call in the legal industry, lay evidence, doesn't support that that's happened. So we've had a few of those kind of, you know, fun times of going through people's love letters. So that was, it's a whole different world back then than now.
Oh, yeah. It, and it's going through the old pictures that prove and that match the stories. And it's also like, how else would he have known certain information without us being there, kind of thing. So it's just definitely piecing it together over the years.
Sure.
And kind of whittling him down to making him see that it's okay to get help from the VA. It's okay. Nowadays, it's not, nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
Nothing to be ashamed of. It's nothing to be.
It's exactly what the VA was set up to do. And it's what we all pay our tax dollars in. And what I've talked about many times on this show is that this is about the contract that when you join the military or were drafted in the military and signed this contract, it was part of us as civilians and us as a country that said, you're going to go represent and fight for our country. And whatever happens to you during that process, we'll take care of you. And so it certainly isn't a handout. It's not a admitting defeat or frustration. And as I've said before on the show, it's not, you know, I hear a lot, well, I don't need it, somebody else needs it more. If you get the benefit, it doesn't take away from somebody else's. It is your benefit, and it is something that the American, I mean, you're paid like crap while you're there. You know that as a spouse of a veteran. You're paid ridiculously cheap while you're in the service. And so at the end of the day, it's like, well, we certainly can help support you, not only with the health care to get treatment for whatever has happened to you, but also that you should be compensated for that, especially if it's affecting your ability to work full time.
Yeah, and a lot of it, I know with him for years, he wouldn't talk about it because he only wanted to talk to somebody that had been through it. And so since nobody talked about their experiences, there was nobody to talk to about.
Yep. Yeah, and more, and I think that over time, more and more that vet centers are opening up more to, you know, and VFW organizations and things that are kind of the, some of the veterans organizations that if they would reach out to be even just the camaraderie that they'll probably find within that process, people who they can talk to about it. And it's one of the things I think that a lot of times makes veterans withdraw from their family and friends that they had before they experienced the trauma that they did. When they come back, it's because they feel like nobody's truly going to understand other than people who've gone through that as well, the same kind of process or the same kind of trauma that they have gone through. And it certainly isn't a deficiency or a weakness. It is a result of trauma. You know, post-traumatic stress doesn't just happen to people who have been in combat. It's a response that is a natural response of our body and our mind to traumatic situations that have happened in our lives.
Very much. And it's getting them to understand that, because that's, now that it's talked about more, it's more acceptable, because, but they're still very reserved, I've noticed, about it. It's trying to break them, the walls down little by little to get them to open up.
Definitely. When we come back, what I want to talk to a little bit more is about the other areas other than Vietnam that have had Agent Orange exposure. When we come back, we're talking with Karen, and a daughter of a Vietnam veteran. And we'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back. This is the Veterans Voice on KABC 790. Good evening, everyone. This is Amanda Minear with the Veterans Voice on 790 KABC. I am a veteran advocate and an attorney at the Veterans Law Group, and we have worked exclusively with helping veterans with their disability process, representing veterans before the VA for about 25 plus years. Our idea on this show is to help just not only answer questions about the VA disability process, but also to help kind of highlight organizations that are helping with veterans and just help to be a voice in the public, not only for you, but to you as well. This evening, our subject conversation has been primarily Vietnam veterans and Agent Orange, and that may sound like an old subject, but I'm about to update you on some few things that have been going on that brings this to light or brings this to kind of the forefront of what's going on in our world right now. But I do want to let you know that we are live this evening, and we are happy to take questions. It doesn't have to be about this subject, but if you're just a veteran, you've got a question that you want to present to us, feel free to call us at 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-KABC. We can definitely take questions off topic. But if you don't feel comfortable with talking about your VA claim publicly on the air, you can also reach us at veteranslaw.com. That's veterans with an S. We'd be happy to set you up with a consultation. We're also joined this evening by Karen, who is a daughter of a Vietnam veteran and a spouse of a U.S. Army veteran of 30 years. And we've just been talking a little bit about the complexities related to helping her dad, and you know, I have an uncle who's a Vietnam veteran, of walking through the process maybe of mental health. But there's also the issues with Agent Orange, and I want to start to address why I'm bringing that up now. One is that there has been some buzz about some Gulf War illnesses, which I think is the second Agent Orange. But in addition to that, all these years later, we are still dealing with the VA finally recognizing certain illnesses that were due to exposure of Agent Orange. Karen, I haven't asked you directly, but I don't know if your father is dealing with anything related to Agent Orange.
No, he's not, but he's had several close friends that passed away because of issues with Agent Orange.
And it's one of those things that we refer to it as Agent Orange illnesses, but really there's a multitude of diagnoses that are due to or the cause of Agent Orange exposure.
Yeah, there's one of his friends had issues with basically his the joint muscles. Ligaments were basically deteriorating, turning to mush because he was exposed to so much of the chemical. And there was really nothing they could do to him where it got to where he couldn't stand and walk. He was just able just to lay there until he couldn't live anymore.
Well, and so for those of you who are a little unfamiliar, one of the main things that happened is that while our military was serving in Vietnam, they were using this chemical to help destroy the foliage so that they could see and walk through and all that kind of thing. And they also burned it at times. So the military who was on the ground there was physically exposed to it, but also when it was burned, they were exposed to it. Now, there has been a long going battle of what they call boots on the ground of Vietnam, brown water veterans, and then now blue water veterans. And so the difference is it used to be prior to a couple of years ago, if you got any of these illnesses that they had recognized as being due to exposure to Agent Orange, you had to show that you were boots on the ground, you actually had physical contact with the ground in Vietnam, or what they call brown water, which means that your ship, if you were on the Navy or you were actually in what was kind of the riverbeds of Vietnam. And the big battle for many, many years was for those Navy veterans or Marines who were on the ships, who were outside of those waterways, but still started developing these illnesses that the VA has already recognized is related to Agent Orange.
Yeah, because it was difficult for them because they didn't believe that they weren't there on the ground. It was hard for them to prove that they were still exposed to the air through the burning and other accesses to it.
Yeah, and it's funny because I used to talk to, you know, I've had many clients that they're like, well, sure, it's not like in my MOS that I ended up going on the shore, but I went to the shore for supplies. Or I helped people that came off the shore onto the ships that had been exposed to it. So there was all this like kind of frustrating and fundamental, you know, this doesn't make sense. If I have the illness associated with Agent Orange and I was anywhere near the vicinity, it seems like that would have just been a no-brainer. But we're dealing with bureaucracy and Congress and all that wonderful stuff. So a couple things that have happened within the last few years. One, there was a Federal Circuit case that said, hey, you know what, when we say Republic of Vietnam, we recognize 12 miles off the shore is considered sovereign territory. So that's part of the Republic of Vietnam. So if you say in the statute Republic of Vietnam, that means if you're within 12 miles of the shore, that's should be considered Republic of Vietnam. So that was the first kind of trigger that opened up the Blue Water veterans to being recognized as assumed that if you had one of these illnesses, it's due to exposure. What I love is that Congress then months later finally passed the Blue Water Navy Veterans Act, whatever it was called, and, you know, claimed success that they had done that, which I find laughable after 20 some years of fighting for that. So that's one of the big things. And then that turns into people ask me all the time, like, what is it? Why does it take so long to get your case with the VA? It's because stuff like this happens. And as soon as they open that up, there becomes an influx of all of these people who have previously been denied their case because they were Blue Water veterans, or they never even tried because they knew where they were going to be denied. So that's one of them. And then the other big thing is they recently just added on, finally, they've been talking about it for years, three more illnesses that they are now on the presumptive list related to Agent Orange exposure, including bladder cancer, which we have so many clients who've been fighting that, hypothyroidism, and what they call Parkinsonism. So Parkinson's disease was already on the list, but this Parkinsonism, which is somewhat similar, they were denying for many, many years. So as you can imagine, all of these people are now flooding the VA with things that they have been fighting and been denied for many years. And once again, the VA finds itself in a predicament where they are not able to get to claims as fast as possible or as fast as they would like to.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that can be very discouraging for the veterans that are first time putting in or going back and trying to go back. Well, they just... they're taking too long again.
And one of the things
they just need to keep going through and just keep trying to push through, and they'll get there.
Sure. Now, it's funny because last week I was talking with a veteran service officer who's been helping veterans. He's a veteran, a U.S. Army veteran himself, Tom, and he has been helping, or Todd, I'm sorry, he's been helping people for 13 years with this process. And it's a large part of it is like, okay, do I really need this? And he has this perspective of, this isn't just about you, this is about your family. And when I look at taking, it's part of taking care of your family. And when I look at specifically Agent Orange related issues, because if you end up ultimately, fortunately, dying from one of these illnesses, if you have it service connected, your family is then entitled to a bunch of benefits. So it's almost like, they talk about, you know, filing for a life insurance policy or for, you know, long-term disability care. It's one of those things that if you get that taken care of, and, you know, if you end up developing Parkinson's and ultimately, you know, losing your life to that, your family is entitled to something for the rest of their lives. If you never pursue it, then you have a problem. So it's not just about the veteran. It's not just about, you know, I want something, I'm getting this benefit, you know, that I don't necessarily need. You're not pursuing welfare. You're not pursuing, you know, any of those kind of things. This is something that is not only you're entitled to, but it's a way of taking care of your family.
Yeah. And what I've always pushed with my father, especially, is it's not only what you're getting, but what if they could eventually, because it takes some years to prove, you know, how many years has it taken for Agent Orange? All these, they're still just finding new issues that's coming from it. If it messes with genetics, or what if, you know, it was something that was passed on? If you'd never applied to start with and got it service connected, then your family could be missing major benefits if something was genetically passed on, or if your family was stationed in some of those areas with you, they could have been exposed also.
Yeah, and there's right now a limited identification of those illnesses that have passed on to children. But just like we just added a few more conditions here, doesn't mean they're not going to add them down the road. So if at least nothing else, at least pursue getting the going to the Agent Orange Registry. There also is a Gulf War Illness Registry, and I'm going to visit more of the Gulf War illnesses that our caller spoke about earlier in upcoming shows. But getting that identified, getting that like service connection, I've even talked to clients about, like, even if you don't care about the money, donate it to your local VFW or anything, you know, some sort of organization that you support and care about. The longer you wait to get something service connected, the harder it becomes to get service connected. And so I just want to encourage a number of, you know, in our last minute or so here, is to not only identify that and acknowledge that Vietnam veterans served in a very difficult period of time, but it's not just them. There are also those in Korea, in Thailand, and others that were exposed to Agent Orange specifically. We tend to default to Vietnam veterans, but those are people, like, I want you to understand that I've represented veterans in Thailand helping them get Agent Orange connection. But it's something that is, you don't know how long it's going to affect your life or if it's going to affect your life in the long run. So feel free to reach out to our organization, your local VSO. If you want to reach out to us for a free consultation, we're at veteranslaw.com. I am proud and honored to represent veterans, to employ veterans every single day. And I just want to help you to join us next week on the Veterans Voice on this channel of KABC and 790. And I really have a great evening.